going to continue our Easter series called It Is Finished. And when Jesus breathed his last on the cross, his earthly mission was completed and Satan's control was broken. Who here is excited about that? That the enemy doesn't have control over our lives anymore. And here's what it said in John 19. This is our key verse for the series, 28 to 30. It says, Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill the scripture, he said, I am thirsty. And a jar of wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And here's what we talked about, or learned about last week, was that when he said he was finished on the cross, number one, our debt of sin has been paid in full. You see, we don't have to sit under the place in our lives where we're indebted to pay for our sin. We could never do it, so Jesus took care of that for us. Number two, our relationship with God had been restored. We now could approach the Father anytime, anywhere, come to him and speak with him. He didn't have to go through a priest or another person. And then we were given the power to overcome sin and remove darkness, that we're called as his people to bring life wherever we go. Wherever we see darkness, we're to bring light into those areas so that we can see people delivered and set free. But here's what I want to say today. There is so much more that Jesus did. There is more that was finished on the cross. Because I grew up in a logging community, the area around my hometown was wooded, hilly areas surrounded by dense forests, river valleys, and mountain lakes. If you like camping, and I know a lot of you do, I was within a 5-minute walk from my house. You could be deep in the woods. Who here thinks that'd be awesome to live in that? Therefore, my job with the renovation company, yes, it's the same renovation company I spoke about last week, worked for me led me to some incredible locations, like I shared Mount St. Helens last time. Now, this other time, we were building an addition to a 2-story house that was on a hillside overlooking the Toutle River Valley. It was very close to where I grew up. And the house was surrounded by massive Douglas fir trees, over 100 feet tall, large ferns, and meadows filled with wildflowers. It was beautiful. Now, to start this job, we had to disassemble a 2-story deck on the house. And my job was to put the old boards under the deck behind the house. Now, what I didn't realize is that there was a window underneath that deck that was completely covered with aluminum foil because it was hidden in the darkness because there was a dark room there for developing film. Now, how I discovered the hidden window was when the owner of the house, who was the wife of a ship captain, came out of the house yelling at me and cussing like a sailor because I had thrown one of those boards through the window to the developing room. I wish that was the only embarrassing thing that happened to me, but the job moved forward, we had to build a floor for the addition of the house, which was pouring concrete. That's right, more concrete. That's what I shared last week. And because the septic tank was located next to the pour site, the cement truck could not get close enough. So again, we had to wheelbarrow the concrete from the truck to the pad. Now, I know this will be hard for you to believe as you look at me today. In those days, I weighed between 135 and 140 pounds, soaking wet. So to push 100 pounds of concrete in a wheelbarrow, I had to get a good line, push as hard as I could to keep the momentum going, because at the end of where the pad was, you had to go up a plank ramp and pour the concrete into where the pad was being formed. Well, halfway through the job, I began to get incredibly tired, because that was a lot of weight for a guy that weighed 135 pounds. And as I began to go forward, and as I went up the plank for the last time, I lost control of the wheelbarrow, going head over heels, fully diving into the middle of the concrete pad, completely covering myself with cement from head to toe. Now, my boss wanted to be mad at me, but was laughing so hard he couldn't do anything about it. Has anybody had an embarrassing situation like that in your time of working? Well, today I want to share a message called He's Got You Covered. When Jesus died on the cross, those who believe in him are covered by his blood. And what is most important is, regardless of how many mistakes you've made, how many times you have failed, how much you have struggled with sin, there's nothing the enemy can do about it because Jesus has got you covered. When Jesus said it was finished, those who believe in him are now clothed in his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, God made him who had known no sin for us to be, for us, so that in him we might become the what? The righteousness of God. You see, if you have accepted Jesus and you've allowed him to forgive you, you've said, Jesus, I need you, and he saved you, you are now the righteousness of God. You need to understand that today. And today I'm not only going to share on the cross that we were forgiven, but we were covered with righteousness. Now, here's my question to start. If we are the righteousness of God, or covered with his righteousness, why do we struggle with shame, condemnation, and feelings of disconnection from God at times? And here's what I believe. I believe it's because we don't understand the power of righteousness, or what righteousness is. So here's simply what righteousness is. It's being right in the eyes of God, including our character, which is our nature, our conscience, or our attitudes, our conduct, which is our actions, and our command, which is our words. See, righteousness is the ability to do the right thing at the right time, every time. It's taking on the very nature of God, walking in his holiness. But see, righteousness is not only based on our actions, but what is inside of us, because what is inside of us comes out of us, negative thoughts, anxiety, worry, self-doubt. And here's the bad news, but it actually is really good news. I want to share this, is that it is impossible for us to be righteous in our own strength. I say it's bad news because you can't work for it, you can't earn it, you can't go around and try to do better things than other people. That's not what's going to make you righteous. The good news is that it comes from God. It's a gift from God. See, our best efforts or self-righteousness lead to a place, and a lot of people say this, we're to legalism. Well, what is legalism? Legalism is where if we feel we check enough boxes, we do enough of the right things, we work harder to be good, we sacrifice our time and our money to help the needy, or if we behave better than those around us, somehow we become righteous. Romans 10:3 says this, for they don't understand God's way of making people right with himself. Refusing to accept God's way, and he's talking more about the world here, they cling to their own way of getting right with God by trying to keep the law. Here's the problem. Our best efforts will never be enough to justify us before God. Why? Because man's best efforts pale in comparison to the holiness of God. And here's what God determined. God determined that we would never be able to take credit for his righteousness, making it impossible for us to achieve it on our own. And I want you to know this is really good news today. So instead, he offered his righteousness as a free gift through Jesus, his one and only son. And so here's our choice. Either we accept it, we embrace it, or we reject it. And what makes us so hard for us as people at times is we don't know how to receive generosity or compliments or praise. It's not easy for us sometimes. Why? Because we are used to how things work with those around us. When we are given a gift or a compliment, and it's not centered around a birthday or Christmas or something like this, here's what people usually think, and just you can kind of nod at me if you think this is true. You're kind of like, okay, what do you want? What do you really want? Or what's the catch? What's the catch? So if you're going to give this to me, what are you expecting from me? What do I have to do? See, we've been conditioned to believe there has to be something more or required from us. And yet here is the deal. When you accept Jesus, he gives us the grace to be able to do the right things. He gives us the strength to be able to do that. But it's not out of our own ability. It comes from God. So then how do we live in righteousness? I've got three things I want to share with you today. First of all, we got to get covered. We got to get covered in the righteousness. If I could say it another way, we got to put on God's righteousness, Jesus' righteousness. Now, how many of you are professional shoppers here in the house today? You love shopping. You don't need a reason to go shopping. You just are like, I love doing it. There's some professionals here. I know that. And you especially like to shop for new clothes or new clothes to you. You know, I remember the statement, you look good, you feel good, you become, you know, good. We talk about this even in baseball with the kids in their uniforms. You know, tuck in your shirts, do this, because if you look good, you're going to play good. So we convince them of that. It's hard with a lot of little boys. Anyways. But who here knows that styles, what we like, can be quite different? Some of us are more adventurous. We like to push the newer styles, be out in front, be creative. Others are more conservative and gravitate towards looking smart and sharp, those things that just are, you know, they're just nice. But most of us, whether we like shopping or not, don't want to go out and be placed. I say most of us, I've seen some people, with stains on our shirts, holes in our pants, mud on our shoes. It can be embarrassing. Have you ever had this thing happen to you? You're invited to go out with some friends or colleagues, and you thought it was a casual, just show up as you are event, only to show up and find out that it was business casual, and where you feel like everyone is looking at you because they are. And so how then do we put on righteousness? How do we live in righteousness? Well, we cover ourselves with righteousness. See, when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, what did they do? They did two things. First of all, they hid from God because they were covered with shame. I mean, it was all over them. It's like parking your car, and you are dressed up for something nice, and you have to park your car in like my son's graduation. It was, the parking was overflowing, and so we had to park in a kind of off area, but it was wet and muddy and rainy, and having another car go by and just splash you with stuff, and it's like, you're just covered. Terrible. So to cover Adam and Eve, God replaced their man-made leaf coverings. They tried to cover themselves. And then he made garments made from the skin of sacrificial animals. Blood was shed. This was the best they could do. See, when Jesus died, he offered us his righteousness. And I say offered because we must choose to put it on, to see ourselves as righteous, whether we feel like it or not. Isaiah 64:6 says, our own righteousness is like filthy rags, but his righteousness is a beautiful and an immaculate covering. Here's what it says in Isaiah 61, verse 10. I'm overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord and my God, for he has dressed me with clothing of salvation and draped me in a robe of righteousness. I'm like a bridegroom dressed for a wedding or a bride with her jewels. You see, we have to understand this with God, that when he gives us his righteousness, it's not just a generic covering that he covers us with. It's not just something that's plain to just kind of make it so that people can't see our sin. No, it says that he drapes us with these royal robes, with these beautiful garments, even jewels for the ladies here. He puts it over us. Why? Because not only when we accept Jesus, we are born into the family of God. And not only are you a son or a daughter, but you are a prince and princess, meaning you are clothed in royalty. I want you to understand that what Jesus gave to us was incredibly special. It's beautiful because he only gives the finest for his sons and daughters. And this should give each one of us confidence. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Here's the second thing I want to say about how do we live in righteousness. Well, I believe this, we need to change some labels. How do we see ourselves? Like many of you, when I was growing up, I had a few nicknames. Who had nicknames that people called you? I'm going to share some of them. Todder. Toodles. Todorinsky. Some of them I enjoyed. Others I tolerated. But my real name was something special to me because it had been given to me by my mom days after my birth. I was supposed to be adopted. Actually, I was in foster care for a few weeks. And at the last minute, she changed my name from what she'd planned to name me, which was Scott, to Todd. Did you know that names have meaning? If you look them up, they have meaning. Todd means wise chooser. You see, in the Bible, we see that people were often given names based on what their family was experiencing during the time of birth. While some were amazing, others were less flattering. Jacob originally means supplanter, usurper. Not a real, hey, usurper, come on over here. Mara means bitterness. Ichabod means the glory has departed. See, they were named based on what they were experiencing. Because God is the Redeemer, it was not uncommon for him to rename those who had encountered him. You were known as this, but now you're going to be called this. Abraham, which means the exalted father for one singular family, was renamed Abraham because it's the father of many nations, from family to nation. Jacob, the supplanter, was renamed Israel because you have wrestled with God and prevailed. Here's what Jacob, first he wrestled with people, and now you will fight for my people. Simon was called he who hears, and is renamed Peter the Rock. First, you heard my call, but you were unable to stand. Now, you will be an immovable rock standing for me. See, not only does God give new names to those who love him, but he removes the hidden labels. Labels that put on us by the enemy, by people, and even ourselves. Those things that stick to us, that speak to us, and in many cases hold on to us. Labels like you're a failure, or you're dumb, worthless, unwanted, undesirable. You can put your own list together if you would like to. But when we put on the robe of righteousness and see ourselves as righteous, God changes our labels. From failure to victorious, belittled to beloved, defiled to delivered, bound to free, worthless to valuable. You see, that's what we have. When we put on the righteousness of God, all of a sudden it says, don't look at yourself that way. I want you to see yourself the way that I see you. So when the enemy brings accusation, you cover yourself with his righteousness and remind him that you're covered by the blood. He says you're a liar. You just say, covered by the blood. You're a loser, covered by the blood. You're this or you're that. It's just covered by the blood because you are the righteousness of God. So here's the third point. How do we walk in righteousness? We live in confidence. We live in confidence because we know who we are. We know that we're a son or daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know that we've been forgiven and we've been set free. We understand that God is for us and he's walking with us. And so no longer am I going to come around with my head down, my shoulders slumped. I'm going to look forward with my head held high because you are a son or daughter of the King of Kings. And so whatever the Lord is asking you to do, you live with confidence in him. I believe this, one of the reasons we do not see more answered prayer, miracles being released, and greater life changes within ourselves is sometimes because we lack the confidence in ourselves. And I believe this, that insecurity is an epidemic that's not only plaguing the world, it's plaguing the church. You see, when you know and you really know that God is for you, it releases a boldness and a confidence for you to step out into God, to what God has called you to be. 2 Corinthians 3:4 says this, we are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. We should be the most confident. I'm not saying arrogant, I'm saying confident. Especially that quiet confidence where it doesn't matter what people are saying or what they're doing. It's that we're confident in him. Because we are righteous before God, we should have renewed confidence in God. You see, when we see ourselves all the time as weak and sinful and broken, it creates insecurity not only in us, but it gives us an insecurity or a distrust in God. And I want to say this, insecurity comes from focusing on ourselves, our weakness, our mistakes, our problems, our sin. Whereas confidence comes from focusing on Jesus and his greatness. You don't serve a weak God. You don't serve somebody that just is out there to get you. No, he wants us to go with his confidence because we know that he's with us. He's like the strong guy that you got if you're out on the street. You know he's got your back. I want to remind you today, each and every one of you, you are made in the image of God. There's nothing inferior about you. And when you are clothed with righteousness, it allows you to walk boldly in the power and authority that God has provided for you. And here's what I love. We no longer should be afraid to approach the Father for whatever we need because he is our Father. He wants to hear from us. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 4:16. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us where we need it most. I want to tell you today, if you have some needs in your life, you have some things that you need God to give you some direction in. You need God to help you, strengthen you, heal you, whatever it is. It says approach him boldly. Because there you will receive his mercy and find the grace. If you need help in your life, put on his righteousness today. And approach him with whatever you need. See, I believe this today as we're going to close. Some of you have been afraid to approach God because you see yourself as smeared by sin. You focus on your failures and your weaknesses, feeling unworthy, and you're afraid that God somehow, if you come to him, is going to be disappointed in you or worse yet, will expose you, will embarrass you. Instead of hiding from him, we need to run to him. Instead of when we are facing difficulties or we do have some failures in our life, we need to go run towards God, not away from him. Because you are his beloved, clothed in righteousness. I believe today it's time for a change. To return the filthy rags and put on his righteousness. To break off old labels and to grab a hold of a new confidence, a God confidence where you walk around saying, my God, whatever you've called me to do, I'm willing and ready to do it because I know you're with me. And nobody can bring accusation against me because you've clothed me in your righteousness today. Galatians 3:11, clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God. Why? Because the righteous will live by faith. Today, if you're here today and you would acknowledge even in your own heart that there are places where you maybe haven't understood this to this level, you're saying, you know what, Pastor, I have been struggling with having that confidence, that boldness to approach God. Or there's some labels, that there's places where the enemy keeps speaking it to me, talking to me over and over again, and I'm reminded of my mistakes, and it's like this label that keeps coming on me. I want to see that broken off today. Or maybe today, you've been looking at your filthy rags and don't realize that all you have to do is say, God, cover me. Jesus, cover me. Cover me with your righteousness. Maybe you don't even know Jesus today, but God wants you to know that that forgiveness is available to you so that you as well can be a son or daughter of God. If any of those things are speaking to you today, with every head bowed, every eyes closed, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray today. I want to pray that some things are going to be broken here today. Some things are going to be released. Some of you are carrying things that you don't need to carry. Today is an opportunity for those things to be broken off of you. And so, Father God, I thank you for each person that is here. Lord, I thank you for each person that has come today. that, Lord, you have not called them to live in a place where they are constantly, Lord, in a place of feeling insecure because they're focusing on the wrong things. I pray, Father God, that you would turn all of our eyes, all of our attention to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And Lord Jesus, today we would be those who would put on your righteousness. I'm going to tell you something right now. That's something that you have to choose to do. God offers it to you, but you have to put that covering on yourself each day. So God, I pray that we would, when we're feeling anxious, we're feeling like somehow we're not worthy, that Lord, we would put on your righteousness. And I pray for every label that has been levied against any of your people. I pray that those labels would be broken in the name of Jesus. And God, that each person would see themselves for who you are. Lord, where there's been those things in their life that keep coming at them and coming at them, I pray that God would give you the strength and the courage by his grace to reject them and put on who you are, beloved, victorious, free, that you are completely valuable in God's eyes. And for those today who have not embraced you, Lord, that you would give them your love and your forgiveness. Is there anybody here today that would say, I don't have a relationship with Jesus, but I want what you're talking about, Pastor Todd? Is there anybody today that would acknowledge there's a need in their life in this area? Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for each person. And last but not least, God, I pray that you would give us the confidence to walk in your boldness, to walk in the courage of being with you. Jesus, I thank you today. I thank you today. I thank you today, Lord Jesus, for everybody here. And I speak to you. Go forward knowing that you're covered in God's righteousness. And if you're not feeling it, say, Jesus, cover me again because I need more of you. I want to look at myself with those royal garments that we no longer see the filthy rags. I declare all of these things broken in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.